Hey everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to www.jamiebateman/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman/haven. Let's get back to the show. In this episode, I was interviewed by my friend Justin Bogard, and we're focused on the topic of entrepreneurship and specifically BiFi Loan Servicing, which is my loan servicing company. And we dive into some of the pain points with regard to entrepreneurship and how it can look beautiful from the outside and pretty messy on the inside. And we don't shy away from talking about some of the challenges that BiFi has had to overcome and some of the personal challenges that I've had to overcome with regard to creating a servicing company or creating any company from scratch. And we get into partnerships and the challenges that can come with that and the ups and downs and the pros and cons of different ownership structures, et cetera. About 10 minutes in, I read off this amazing quote from a really successful entrepreneur that I think is illuminating with regard to the true picture of entrepreneurship. And then toward the end, we talk a lot about the future of BiFi and some of the recent progress we've made with regard to resources and why I'm really optimistic about BiFi loan servicing and the service that we're going to be able to continue to provide to our clients, lenders, and note investors. So this was a fun chat. Again, ups and downs. We keep it real. I think it's a great example of adversity to abundance, focused on the last 3 years of from creation of BiFi loan servicing to some low points and rebounding and how we're able to do that. And then to a new partnership that I can't get into the details about just yet, but it's really exciting. And the new partner brings a lot of resources from a financial standpoint and structure and process standpoint. So I'm really excited about the abundance that BiFi is looking toward in 2024. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. Are you an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur? Then this show is for you. Each week, we bring you impactful stories of real people who have overcome painful human adversity to create a life of abundance. A life of abundance. You are not alone in your struggle. Join us, and you will experience the power of true stories and gain practical knowledge from founders who have turned poverty into prosperity and weakness into wealth. This podcast will encourage you through your health, relationship, and financial challenges so you can become the hero in your quest for freedom. Take ownership of the life you are destined to live. Turn your adversity into abundance.
Mr. Jamie Bateman, welcome to the Be The Bank podcast.
Justin, thank you so much for having me, man. This is going to be fun.
You're welcome. I'll send you an invoice, you know, after we're done.
Absolutely. and I'll send it back with a link to my podcast you were on.
with a slightly more of a fee on top of that. Right.
Exactly. Upcharge.
All right, Jamie. So thanks. Yeah, thanks again for being on the show. This is, I think, your second time on the Be The Bank podcast. And it's been a few years, but thanks for being on again. We know each other kind of through the note investing circle here, and it's not a very big circle, so a lot of us know each other. But you don't live where I am. I'm in Indiana, so you are in.
I'm outside of Baltimore, Maryland.
So you must be an Orioles fan.
I am an Orioles fan. I follow the Ravens a little bit more, although that stings right now.
Yeah.
And the Orioles, of course, were just sold last week, so that was interesting. But
they were sold.
The ownership changed. I don't know a lot about it, but so that was a big news in Oriole land. But I grew up going to Memorial Stadium, and then Camden Yards was obviously one of the nicer parks when it was built, and I think it still is one of the nicer ones.
It looks pretty cool. A friend of mine went out there and he said, it's a pretty awesome place to go watch a game. I thought the Orioles, I didn't know about the Orioles ownership changing hands. So I'll have to read about that. Cause I kind of follow baseball. The AL East is kind of the teams that I watch. Cause I'm a Red Sox fan, just because there's not really any American League good teams around where I'm at. So the White Sox are kind of closest where I'm at, but I got the Cubs, the White Sox, and the Reds. And a lot of people like the Cardinals cause they're close by too. And we got Detroit. That's up there just a little bit, a few more hours north. Midwest is kind of cool. You can hit a lot of different baseball parks right here. So.
For sure.
Absolutely. We're not here to talk about that. So, all right. So you're in Maryland. You started a servicing company a few years ago, and you also, before that, you kind of were a landlord turned note investor.
Yeah, absolutely. And so landlord turned lean lord, if you will. But
my favorite word.
One caveat though with that is that it's not like I abandoned all my rentals and then I just went 100% into notes. I actually kind of see them working hand in hand. In fact, through my note investing, we've acquired one other single family rental that's in Florida. So to me, they work well together, and they're not, note investing is just another strategy that's really in that larger real estate investing asset class.
Well, it's disappointing to hear you say that, because I thought you would just dog on rentals. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for being
here. All right. I guess, man, this invoice is growing by the minute. The truth is every asset class has pros and cons. And I know we're not going to dive into all those today, but I love notes. I love note investing. The passive side of it is huge. But our rentals have been an important part of my own portfolio as well, and continue to be. So,
yeah, I can see rentals being pretty profitable, and it kind of depends on the situation. I always thought the rentals, at least around here in Indianapolis area where I live, the more expensive ones seem to thrive better than the lower end ones, just because there's so much turnover and damage and stuff done to the lower end ones. So I think if you had a portfolio of higher valued assets, it probably would pan off a little bit better. But notes fits my eye, so to speak. Absolutely. And I just stay in that lane, and I'm pretty content with it. But you have a couple funds that you've managed in the past, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Currently today.
Currently still we have one fund that's winding down. It's a 3-year fund, non-performing note fund, and that one has been a lot of work but also has been profitable. Good. And that one had a defined 3-year term, so it's winding down this year. And then the other fund is a reperforming / performing note fund that's a little more predictable, a little more boring, if you will. It provides the passive investor more of a predictable passive monthly return. So, both have been good.
Awesome. So that is the Labrador Lending Center. For those of you that aren't watching the video of this, we are streaming this on our YouTube channel for American Note Buyers. So you can check out Jamie's little tag there. So Labrador Lending, how'd you come up with the name Labrador Lending?
Yeah. I mean, so it's actually in hindsight, a little bit misleading, because we don't do actual lending, and that's probably a topic for another episode, but we don't really originate loans. We have done a couple, but that's not the, we buy existing debt like you do. And so but Labrador Lending, we live on Labrador Lane. My kids, we live at Chocolate Lab. Actually have an entity that's called Labrador Properties that has rentals in it as well. And my kids were the Labradors when they were in elementary school, which still surprises me that elementary schools have mascots now. But
yeah,
multiple things that Labrador lending just made sense. So well,
that's cool. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that to be the street you live on. Pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you start BiFi loan servicing?
Technically, it was January 4th, 2021. And as we're recording this, tomorrow morning, I have a podcast episode coming out on the From Adversity to Abundance podcast that goes into depth from my perspective, but more so from Shante Duffy's perspective. And we can get into who she is. She's the director of operations at BiFi. To answer your question, a little over 3 years ago, January 4th, 2021, but we'd put in a good amount of work prior to actually, you know, creating the LLC. So probably 3.5 years ago now, we were kind of planning things.
What in the hell made you decide to start a loan servicing company?
I ask myself that every day. No. I try to keep it real and things, there have been ups and downs for sure and tons of lessons I've learned. And I think we'll touch on a couple of those. You know, you hang around Chris 70 too much and he pushes you into to get uncomfortable. Chris is a fellow note investor and a peer of ours, and he's in some ways been a mentor of mine as well. And Chris and I were just frustrated with the level of service we were being provided as note investors, fund managers from other servicing companies. And that's not to say that other servicers are all terrible and they do nothing well. That's not it at all. But we thought that, you know, we could have a little bit, maybe a little more control of the servicing element of, you know, as far as our own loans go, but primarily to provide investors with an investor first servicing company that really prided itself on communication and you know, properly managing the servicing part of a loan. So it was out of frustration with other servicers, quite honestly. But for the record, I still use two other servicers today. I've used five total. And so I know, you know, they all have pros and cons. Yeah. There are no perfect servicers out there. But that was the impetus behind BiFi loan servicing.
Okay. And so my questions are going to be more business related questions here.
Sure.
So
love it.
What is the biggest hurdle when you're setting up a loan servicing company that you have to go through? Because I'm sure there's a bunch of red tape that me as a consumer of a loan servicing company doesn't know about.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to read this quote. I have a quote here and then I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
So this is from, it was published in Forbes, and it's a guy who I follow on Twitter. His name's Brent Bishore. I'm not sure how you say it, but his quote was, he's the CEO of Permanent Equity. You can look him up. His quote is, "All businesses are loosely functioning disasters and some are profitable despite it." He said, "At 30,000 feet, the world is beautiful and orderly. On the ground, it's chaotic and confusing. Nothing ever goes to plan. Surprises lurk around every corner. Things are constantly breaking. Someone is always upset. Mistakes are made daily. Expecting anything less is out of touch with reality." Now, with that backdrop, to me, that's actually been very comforting to know that, no company has it all figured out. There's no perfect organization. That's what you're creating. A business is all about solving problems. And the day you're not solving problems or facing problems, then you're really not adding value. So what are you bringing to the marketplace? Yep. Starting a servicing company in particular has, you're absolutely right, tons of hurdles, especially if you're dealing in the owner occupied space. So that's something that's important to point out, because there are servicers who primarily or only focus on hard money loans, investment property, business purpose loans, right? So private money loans, hard money loans, where the property is not occupied by the owner.
Right.
That type of servicing company comes with a lot fewer hurdles when it comes to state licensing.
Okay.
So the licensing piece, and quite honestly, this is a mistake that we made. I would do it differently if I had to start one from scratch again.
Okay.
But the licensing piece is a huge, huge hurdle. It's very cumbersome, very expensive, very time consuming, okay, very state dependent. So lots of nuance there that we're not going to be able to cover entirely. And right, quite honestly, we don't want to put your listener to sleep. But that is a big piece of, you know, that's one of the major hurdles in the beginning when you're doing owner-occupied loan servicing.
So is it a process for getting a license in a certain state? Like you file documentation to say, hey, I'm a loan servicing company and I want to get a license. And then you probably have to answer many questions and provide certain yep things, and then somebody has to approve it. And do you get audited? Is that kind of a little bit how it works?
It is a little bit how it works. Okay. It's this is where I start to sound like an attorney, and I say it depends.
Yeah. And you don't have to go into a very specific detail. Sure. I'm just trying to get like the 30,000 foot view of like how does the process work from start to finish,
totally,
and how long does it typically take?
Yeah, the problem. I'm not dodging the question. I completely. It's a critical question, right? But if you're applying for a loan service, you know, a servicing license in Texas versus New York, entirely right, different, you know, processes. But in general, some states do require you to have a full GAAP audited financials. So where you do actually have to pay for an audit and then an year-end audit. In fact, we're going through our 2023 year-end audit right now to reapply and to renew and apply for additional state licenses right now. But 30,000 foot view, you should consider at least, I'd say, 2 to 3 months before you're going to get most licenses, you know, okay, back. And there also are net worth requirements. And when I say that, that's the business. So not my net worth, but the business's equity, right? So yeah. It really does vary considerably per state though. So it is, gotcha. Those are some of the hurdles is the having audited financials and then also a net worth requirement for the business itself.
2 to 3 months actually sounds kind of quick just in relative terms in our business, considering how sure long things can take and stuff, especially when you consider,
I would agree,
foreclosures, but yeah, that doesn't, that's seem true, too bad at all. But yeah, I'm sure the monetary investment is can be pretty steep too to get those licenses.
So. And again, I'm answering really from like one state, you know. So if you're working on many states, it's gonna take a lot more time. So it might take,
yeah,
6 months just because you don't have, yeah, you're not only doing that in a vacuum. But that's definitely one of the initial hurdles. And I refer to a lesson learned, and this is just my own takeaway is from a more of a business standpoint is one of the tips I would give people, whether you're starting a loan servicing company or any business that's kind of service related, is make sure you have the demand there initially before you invest a lot into licenses, and then you're signing up for annual renewals and you're committing yourself,
yeah,
to higher expenses. So I would have scaled, if I had to start over, I would get fewer licenses initially, mm-hmm, maybe five to 10 states, and then make sure we have the demand, the number of loans there, yeah, to, you know, to service those, and then, you know, slowly acquire additional licenses. The hard part is some note investors and lenders really want to work with just one servicer. So they want, yeah, one solution. So that can be tricky when we don't service every state. Currently we have 25 licenses and growing.
That's pretty good.
So.
So when you're setting up a loan servicing company and going through the red tape and you're learning about the state requirements and you're getting the licenses, and there's also federal requirements too. And as it pertains to, you know, notifying and disclosing to the borrower of a change of service or a change of ownership of that note as well. So how do you learn about those things? Are you like reaching out to other people to say, hey, what specific things are going on? Or an attorney says like, hey, here's what you got to go through and walk this way.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, it's where I do rely pretty heavily on my team, and yeah, the CFPB guides a large part of those requirements. As far as the timeline that you referred to, hello and goodbye letters and RESPA and CFPB are kind of the federal guidelines. Your listener can Google those. We do have training for anyone who's going to be reaching out to borrowers directly to make sure that we're following federal, mm-hmm, guidelines. We're not texting people at 3 a.m, hey, you got to pay your mortgage, or, you know, there are federal regulations as far as how, what is too frequent, you know, what's considered harassment or something like that. But that is the primary function of, in my mind, the two functions that a loan servicing company provides are, one is collecting payment and then dispersing those funds to the lender, but two, making sure that everyone is compliant. So one of the reasons to use a loan servicer and not self-service your own loan is that you have, then you alluded to foreclosure. We can produce, you know, history that is backed up and can be presented in court to help with that foreclosure process. But yeah, to be perfectly honest, I've been more involved in the state processes as far as state licensing, because that's some, those are things honestly that I need to sign off on as CEO, typically as an officer of the company, whereas I'm not personally calling and interacting with borrowers. So I'm not personally involved in the day-to-day of the, you know, those, the more federal related requirements.
Very cool. So a lot of red tape. Just want to make that very clear. So this world that we're in the note investing world, the note investing community, it's not a very big community. And like I said, in the opening thing, when you got on, like, we all kind of know each other.
Yeah.
And then you also know rumors and you also hear things out there and you kind of wonder what's true and what's not. And obviously with a rumor, there's three sides to every story. There's one side, there's the other side, then there's the stuff in the middle. That's probably the accurate stuff.
Sure.
So like any other company that starts up or any other fund that's out there that we know, there's always things that you hear about struggles. And so your company, BiFi, is one of those companies that have had rumors out there that they've had some struggles in there. And you've actually went out and kind of got in front of it and mentioned, you know, through, you know, a blast messaging through, you know, people that are your clients to say, hey, here's some transitions that we're going through. Here's some changes that are happening and blah, blah. And I just kind of wanted to give you the floor to kind of walk through this kind of, when you start up a business, how it struggled and then kind of how you kind of shifted your focus back towards other things and got on the right track, and the pathway before is a lot more clear and more fun.
Well, I had heard that you you learn more through your adversity than, you know, success. So I wanted to learn a lot. So the we created a bunch of adversity. No, I'm kidding. But look, the reality is we've had a lot of ups and downs. In hindsight, several of the downs could have been prevented. And again, I've walked away with a bunch of, I haven't walked away. I'm continuing to learn, but looking back, I've gained a lot of knowledge with regard to lessons learned. You know, I actually would point your listener to the episode. It's our 100th episode, because we go into a lot of detail on the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. And I just think if anyone's interested in more of the true behind the scenes details of BiFi, Shante gives a really good, it's from her perspective mostly. And Shante is our director of operations, like I alluded to. And she's the servicing guru in our company. Yeah. I mean, we have a team as well, but, so for further detail, check that out. But, I mean, the first year, just to kind of quickly hit some the timeline and some maybe lowlights and highlights, during 2021, Chris Seveny, Shante Duffy, and I were putting together our plan and getting licenses. So when I say our plan, I mean SOPs. How are we going to handle foreclosures? What are we going to charge for this? You know, what are the monthly servicing fees? What are the whole fee schedule? What are we offering? Right. So what services actually are we offering? Because you think, oh, every servicer has the same. Well, no.
What's your value add? You know, how does it make
What's our value add? 100%. Why would someone choose us? Right. You know, and that's where what we did was, Chris and I are very active note investors. Chris had already run at this time, probably 6, maybe 7 note funds when we were 3 years ago. You know, so not only the two of us, Shante also is an active note investor, but we also had meetings with active investors to find out what were their pain points with other servicers. And ultimately the big thing was communication That's probably the main piece. But so for 2021, we were putting together those processes and our kind of the overall plan, as well as obtaining licenses. That was really kind of just laying the groundwork for the company. And then in late 2020, so August of 2021, Chris and I boarded our own loans at BiFi. And when I say our own loans, those were funds that we were managing, funds that we ran or still run, as well as just, you know, owned by our entity. So we wanted to make sure, yes, these were live loans and these are not play money kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure we would feel the pain first if there was to be pain. Right. And so we did that for a couple of months, September and October, really, the 2 months that we serviced our own loans. And then we felt comfortable right after, I would say, early November of 2021 is when we kind of opened up the doors to third-party servicing. So servicing, you know, loans for other note investors like yourself. Right. And so I would say during over the next, say, year, almost year, 10 to 12 months, things were going pretty well at BiFi. Yeah. We were growing, you know, slowly growing.
Yeah.
We certainly, you know, you don't just hit the ground running and make a $1 million, you know, a year out of the gate. Right. So we weren't profitable. It's not like, you know, it's not like, and most companies aren't.
Most are not. Yeah. For at least 3 to 5 years.
Right? Yeah. So, and we knew that was to be expected. Right. The biggest, just being totally honest with you, things took a turn for the worse in late 2022. Mm-hmm. And what happened you can get, like you said, there's other perspectives for sure. But from my perspective, what was going on was we put too much on Shante's plate. Chris and I did. And when I say that, I mean, we expected, yes, we put a lot of work into this ourselves and we put a lot of money into it, but we kind of expected that she could take the ball and run with it. Now, before anyone hears that she's not, you know, able to take the ball and run with it, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is creating a servicing company from scratch, we bought office space in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. So there were a lot of pieces that Shante had to deal with that Chris and I either weren't dealing with because we were remote, or we didn't have the time because we were dealing with our funds and everything else.
Yeah.
And that she had never dealt with before. So creating processes, you know, it's one thing to, she worked at Madison Management for about 9 years and she rose through the ranks and she was very well respected and gained a ton of knowledge, but she didn't start Madison Management. You know, she didn't start a company there.
Right.
She'd never been a landlord. So all of a sudden the HVAC goes out in our office space, right, or she has to collect rent from the tenant next door because we bought two office spaces. Well, these are not things she's ever done before. And so there were a lot of hurdles. Those are just a couple of examples, a lot of challenges that Shante specifically had never dealt with. And quite frankly, in hindsight, it was probably I don't want to say unfair, but just unrealistic of Chris and me too. Expect that this could just take off and be successful out of the gate like that. So things somewhat devolved, honestly. What we tried to do was we brought in someone, and I'll just fast forward here, but we hired someone to be more of the business and accounting and sort of a role model for Shante from a business standpoint, almost like a mentor and a guide.
Yeah.
And Shante could still the thought was that we would free her up to focus on loan servicing, which is really what she does best. I mean, she's an absolute beast when it comes to servicing loans.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that did not go well. We didn't hire the right person, quite honestly. And coming out of into 2023, that's when I would say BiFi hit rock bottom. Shante had actually left the company, and she talks about this on my podcast.
Yeah.
She had some things going on personally in her own world, you know, that she had to get right. And it's one of the risks you run when you have a small company. Yep. You know, if someone leaves, say, let's just say FCI, they're a bigger servicing company. If one of their employees leaves tomorrow for 6 months, you might not notice as a client, right? Or if you do, it's a little blip. Shante, when Shante left, it was a big deal. And yep. So it did take us quite a bit of time to dig out of the hole that was created in the beginning part of 2023. And I'm happy to say we've rebounded and we're making a ton of progress. We've put in, I'm super excited about the future of BiFi. You know, but the reality is we've had some low points for sure.
That was your adversity that you didn't intend to happen, but
that's right. Yes.
Well, that's understandable. And like we mentioned before, anybody that has a company or started a company, there are things that are just, you can't foresee happening, and you gotta be able to be malleable, you know, be able to flex and bend and pivot and move and change direction if you need to. And it definitely sounds like we've had a lot of offline conversations. So I know a little bit more of what you've even been through than what we're explaining here, but this is a, you know, short podcast. So we're just trying to give you the high level of the struggle and then how you've redefined everything and kind of moving forward today, you know, fast forward into today, you're obviously, you know, you are a servicing company and you do service many loans and we still have loans with you and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, let me just say that so the ownership structure has changed in the last few months, and you know, Chris is no longer an owner of BiFi. Chris Seveny, he is still a client of BiFi's, and Chris and I are on great terms. We're going to be on your show here in a couple of days.
Yeah,
and
on Valentine's Day. You know, this will be released after Valentine's Day, but on Valentine's Day we'll be doing a special broadcast.
So look back for that February 14th broadcast and see if Chris and I got along or not. But you know, we still communicate and we're still in touch on a lot of different things. And what he decided was that he had to focus is huge, right? In business in general. And I think he'd taken on a bit too much to be honest. And I think he would admit that. And so he had to focus on what he had going on with his Regulation A and his big fund. And so he left BiFi in August. And then we actually, there are some more recent changes that have been very positive from a resource standpoint in late December in particular. And some of that I can't get into, but I'm really excited about the future and some of the resources that and support that have been brought to BiFi already and are on the horizon. So I think that's just going to really provide a higher level of service for our clients. And I'll be perfectly honest. I was looking like the dumb idiot who was just too stubborn to walk away and didn't want to admit defeat there for a little bit. It wasn't looking good. Just being real.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying I'm not ready to spike the football, but it's looking a lot better than it was in, say, August, September, October of 2023.
Well, you're an entrepreneur at heart, and if it's not in your or any entrepreneur's heart to give up, and because you didn't give up, you know that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, or you're really close to being there, or you're already there, and you're getting ready to break through. It's really cool what you've been through. I mean, obviously, it wasn't fun going through the low points, but you know. All of us out there, we think, especially, you know, the younger generation that comes through and starts to build these note businesses or just businesses in our note industry. And, you know, it kind of looks easier. We think we know the way to do it. And it's really a blend of knowing what the experienced folks out there have been doing, how they've started their companies, and a blend of what, you know, technology is helping today versus what they didn't have back then. And all those things help out. So it is a struggle. And if anybody out there thinks that, you know, anybody that's started a fund or started a company in the note space, that it's been easy and it's been, you know, they've hit 100% perfect, you know, dart throws every single time. It's absolutely not the case at all. Every single person we could put on this podcast and we can interview them, and they would all talk about what you have talked about today and some of the mistakes and struggles that they've been through and how they overcame it. But it's how you overcome it and how you get, pick yourself up, right, and move forward.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, does it get old talking about, you know, I don't love to focus on the negative, right? But at the same time, one of the things I want to make clear is I am not walking away from any, if we messed up the servicing on a loan back, you know, a year ago, I'm owning that, right? I'm not walking away from that. That's So we're facing it head on, and we're cleaning up the issues. And that's why we've also hired someone to come on as our business development lead. And one of the first things he did was set up a call with any investor, any current client who wanted to talk to him, so that we could understand the pain points and address them, as opposed to just pretend everything's fine or ignore the issues.
It's because you care.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do. And my goal is to just continue to provide a high level of service and continue to improve the service, the level of service that we're providing. And again, recent changes, which I'll be able to speak about more in the future.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled about there. So we're able to lean on a big partner who is providing a lot of the day-to-day support. Meaning, when I say support, I mean IT support, HR support, accounting support, the business side, as opposed to the loan servicing side that we know really well. And so it's been able to provide Shante and me a lot of clarity and focus on the investor to be able to provide that higher level of service. So BiFi has a bright future for sure.
That's awesome. Jamie, you're awesome. Thanks for being on the podcast today. This is episode number 4 of season 6 of the B2B Bank podcast. Jamie Bateman of BiFi Loan Servicing and Labrador Lending. As we know, that's the street that he kind of lives on there.
So, that's right.
Thanks a lot, man, for being on the show today. Can't wait to do the broadcast together here in a few days as we're recording this. So we will catch you all on the next episode. Thanks, Jamie. See ya.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, your time. If you like the show, please share it with your friends and fellow podcast listeners. One entrepreneur at a time, we can change the world. See you next time.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.